Tom Terrero podcast 113 on Pure Filth with Mr. Craig Cassidy. Good evening, Craig.
Hello.
He's munching the old biscuits. We are living the dream in LAX. It's late at night, really, as... Oh, look at that, Craig. Look at that. Beautiful.
Oh, hello.
Kind of a Swedish girl striding forth in yoga pants goes through the airport. That is one of the great things about California. Whoever invented yoga pants should get a Nobel Prize for bringing peace to the world. Well, actually, the opposite of peace, horniness and filth. That's what this topic is about. We are waiting for our flight to Sydney. We've had a good week, a very lazy, relaxing week in California. Watch the videos on YouTube. We've been filming our documentary. We've been teaching boot camps. And onwards, down under, to the winter of Sydney. But anyway, we've got a lot to get through today. We've got a lot of filthy stories. So what we've had to do is find a secluded area in the airport where Craig can tell some of the filth that's been happening this week. And actually, some filthy tales from Craig from Harlem. That's right, Harlem in New York City. Before we kick off, forgive the announcements in the background. I hope you can hear me. Before we kick off, in Sydney, if you're a day gamer in Sydney, especially if you're quite an experienced day gamer, intermediate or above, we've had a guy drop out of our documentary filming. So this week on Friday, or I could even do it on Thursday, would you be willing to be interviewed on camera for the documentary and filmed in field? It has to be Thursday or Friday. I could do it after work if you work. Remember, your face therefore will be on the documentary. You could change your name, but this documentary will be public knowledge after being in a London cinema. So that would really help us out. If you're in Sydney, I know there's a lot of day gamers. So if you've got day game experience, if you've been doing it a while, you don't mind being on camera, give me an email. Second announcement is from Mr. A. You might remember Mr. A from my podcasts. He's called Alex. I've lived with him, I've traveled with him, I've skied with him. And amazingly, he's finished his memoirs, his first book called Too Late Mate, which is his day game story from a life of almost being a monk, you could say, in his 30s and 40s, until he discovered day game, did a boot camp, and the last, I think, 4 years perhaps, first in London and then in Europe, and his journey. So if you want to read that, it's very good. I edited it. It's got a lot of stories of people you perhaps have heard of, you know. The day game community is pretty small, so you'll recognize all the usual suspects in his stories. And yeah, there is a little bit of filth. Despite Alex being a bloody nice chap, there is some filth, especially at the end. I think there's a story on a beach with a Polish girl. So yeah, if you want that book, or if you want to read up on it, I think he's publishing it through Lulu, you go to streetstories.co.uk, all one word, streetstories.co.uk. I'll try and do a podcast with Mr. A when I'm back in Europe, so he can tell his tale. All right, filth. What do we mean by filth? Why you should experience filth, not as your regular diet, just like why you should eat cheeseburgers or drink beer in excess occasionally. It shouldn't be your regular diet, but why is it important? Why do I like it? Why does Craig like it? Why does every time we travel, why does it happen? Not between me and Craig, but between me and a girl, or Craig and a girl. Why is it involved in gutter game? Why is it important when you travel? And if you've got very little sexual experience, see, I have to whisper now. We don't know who's passing by. If you have little sexual experience, let's say under 10 notches, why is filth important? Sure, supermodels are important, hot girls are important.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Thank you very much.
This is Mayor Eric Garcetti.
Oh, the mayor's chipping in now. I'm sure he's a filthy guy.
Why he loves filth.
He's proud that we've come to the city of fallen angels to discuss filth. So I'll kick off with a quote by a filthy man in history called Samuel Johnson. He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man. He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man. And that's what my new book is all about. There's the plug for today. Probably my last book of lay stories, because it's getting too egotistical. But I've saved the best till last. I didn't for a long time want to publish filth, because I'm aware that my mum reads these books and my family perhaps knows of these books. And once you publish filth, it's out there forever. I think a girl's listening. Good, she'll enjoy the book. Yeah, so I've done lay reports in the past, but I haven't said the, oh God, the extent of filth. You know, the crazy things that happen with girls on their period, or anal sex, or sex outdoors, or threesomes, or sex in cars, sex in parks, sex in lifts, sex in bars, sex with really fast sex, like crazy sex, dirty sex. So that's my new book. It's going to be called Below the Belt, and I'll probably start writing it tonight. On this 15-hour plane journey, I will try and start writing them. I've saved lay reports from Iceland to New Zealand to Germany, so that's what I'm doing. And Craig, who's standing next to me, he's also going to be writing what happened this week in LA and in New York City. You can get a preview now. But before we delve into this filth, I should point out that it has nothing to do with the girl being bad. Because when you hear the word filth, you say, oh, these are about skanky girls, these are about like rotters, these are about the R-selected girls, you know, this is about bad girls. No. Okay, because you've seen my video on the myth of R and K, and all girls are good and bad. All girls are Madonnas and whores. There are two lovely Chinese girls walking past. I think that's her mum. And look, they look so sweet. But that's my point. If you read the book called A Billion Wicked Thoughts, just Google it. It's based on the Google Analytics of what girls actually Google. What kind of porn, what kind of fantasy they actually Google, yeah? And you'd be shocked. If you could see inside a regular woman's mind, you'd be shocked, especially at the time of the month when she's ovulating, at a certain age, so when she's late teens to 25, or if she's on holiday, if she's out of her country. They are big points we shall talk about. And the guy goes, yeah, well, it's about her having tattoos. Yeah, it's about her having piercings. And, you've got these angel girls, the high quality girls, and you've got these disgusting rotters. One day game, I know, he calls them club skanks. And he says, oh, day game, gutter game only works on club skanks. That's completely missing the point. Filth is everywhere. I know you're filthy. You're listening to this podcast. You pretend you're a good guy at work, but I know you're filthy. I know what you Google. And you'd be shocked that the good girl you see in the library, you don't want to know what she's done or what she thinks about doing, yeah? Even the religious girl, what is she thinking about doing? So that's what these stories are about. If you want to see some of the filth, go to Stealth Seduction. You will see plenty of stuff. Craig and I in Canada. There's a van pull, the strip club thing that Craig instigated. There's threesomes, there's same day lays, girls with boyfriends, sex in a park, a married doctor, sex in Santa Monica in a car park. Beautiful. Beautiful. So, Craig and I are big fans of this kind of noir gutter game thing. We were talking the other day about how some PUAs are very, you could say, conservative. They're a little bit square, you know? They're very puritanical, and they think of pickup as like three dates and candles and vanilla sex, and these are high quality girls. And a nine, well, she would never be filthy. Oh no, she would never be filthy. Or even more ridiculous, they go, oh, I'm going to Ukraine because they would never be filthy. Or that Victoria's Secret model, she would never be filthy. So, over to Craig. Do you want to start with Harlem, or do you want to start with the Brazilian?
I'll start with Harlem because it's the first.
Harlem is really, really filthy in all respects, and it started with that twilight noir.
Yeah, Harlem was a dirty place to start with, wasn't it, really?
Literally dirty.
You'd got laid a couple of nights prior.
English
girl, I was a
not
bit...
Not filthy at all, she was posh. Yeah.
Posh English girl, I was still a bit jet-lagged for the first few days, and I didn't really warm up to day game until later on, till the boot camp, which left me with like, well, I don't know, one night. It was last night, wasn't it, to get laid, if I wanted to get laid, and I love getting laid, so Tom and I headed out at like 9 p.m. and it was the first, well, it wasn't really a set in the sense that I didn't spot the girl and then go and approach her. We were walking down to the main gutter game area of Harlem, and this tattooed Puerto Rican, she worked in a tattooist actually, she was quite covered with red hair. She walked by, give us a little smile, and it wasn't your London day game stop. I just said, you come here. I think I pointed at her and beckoned her over, and she came over. Tom walked off a little bit, and it was super on. You know those, if you've done gutter game, you'll know when a girl's on. She just looks at you like her eyes are wide. She's spazzing out. She's super. Her body language is flowing all over the place. It's not a static, stoic stop. And she was on. And I said to her that Tom was going home, but Tom retreated to Popeye's Chicken, the classiest joint in Harlem. And I took this girl for a drink to a restaurant. It was pretty funny actually, because Harlem's a predominantly black neighborhood, and I felt a bit like Rosa Parks. Like, I had to ask the doorman if I was allowed to come in, and he had to go and ask the barman or someone. And then after about a few minutes stood outside, I was thinking, oh shit, I'm not going to get in here. They come out and said, yeah, that's fine. So I had a drink with this girl. And there wasn't really any game. It was on from the start. I was horny, she was horny. We necked the drinks, got a bottle of wine, headed back to the apartment. Sorry, it's very loud at the minute. Headed back to the apartment, and I proceeded to smash her for about 10-15 minutes till I blew my load and I got her out of there, because this Harlem.
Was it around an hour?
It was
from meet to bed.
It was probably just under an hour.
Yeah.
Just under an hour, I think. And it was real filth. She was Puerto Rican. I'd never fucked a Puerto Rican before. She had an ass. She had some tits. She liked me spanking her. She shouted Spanish. And I have all this on audio, and I deleted it. I'm trying to recover it off my phone now, because it is pure filth. And I loved it.
But again, I just want to point out that a lot of listeners will go, well, she had tattoos, so obviously she was completely filthy. A good girl would never do that. But if I think back to my filthy stories, like the English doctor and stealth seduction, an English doctor, highly trained, highly educated, rich, married. She was she's the biggest nympho on the product. You just need to listen. We are watching porn together as we bang. As a girl stares at us as she walks past. She's loving it, see? So don't make that mistake. And some girls with tattoos, I used to know this Portuguese girl. She was very shy. She was a very good girl. She's now a fabulous mother. It doesn't mean they're filthy at all. So break that illusion. I know I say it's the same daylight signal, but that's kind of a cliche. There's a lot more going on, which we can talk about with
the Brazilian hunter.
The Brazilian.
Sure.
So from that, take things like, why should you do that kind of thing, right? Fast escalation. So forget the phone number. Just practice leaving your phone at home and escalating. Because night gamers have this advantage over day gamers, that night gamers are naturally filthy, especially North American night gamers or in Piccadilly Circus. Day gamers become nice. Day gamers become polite, and they go on 3 or 4 dates. So you can't be social, you have to be sexual, you have to lead, you have to dominate. And the more you do this with 7s, even low 8s, you just get desensitized to filth. And then one day, a lucky 9 might come along, who is also up for it, gutter game, same delay, whatever, and you're desensitized. You know how to pull fast. Sure, it's going to be scary with a 9. Everyone's lying if they say it's not scary with a 9. Of course it's going to be scary. But that's the beauty of desensitization. And just like that book, A Billion Wicked Thoughts, you should read that. I'll do a podcast on it. It takes girls off the pedestal, because you suddenly think, oh my God, this is what girls actually do. This is what girls Google. This is what girls like... knock one out to. This is what married girls and girls with boyfriends do. Holy shit, if she does it, how many other girls walking around are up for it? You have no idea if you're a nice guy. So that was story number one, and it was pure filth. I was being a good wing, because the previous night Craig had been a very good wing on a dodgy 2-set in Harlem. So I knew I was waiting for the plus one. Typical wing, you just vacate the house. I sat across the road in Popeye's Chicken. If you know Popeye's Chicken, it's opposite Chuck E. Cheese. I think Chuck E. Cheese burned down. So Popeye's the place to go. You blend in. If you've got that kind of hip-hop look like me, definitely, I'm streetwise. And as I was waiting for the plus one, Craig was saying, okay, just give me 10 minutes. There was a stabbing just outside, and loads of police cars and ambulances and fire engines. Oh, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful last night in New York City. And then we arrived in the City of Angels, quite ironic for this podcast, one of the filthiest cities. Beautiful and clean in that respect, but filthy in terms of it's very rock and roll LA, it's very goth. It's a bit like walking around Camden, just with a lot of sun. So we were like, hallelujah. There's all these girls giving us IOIs. The British accent kind of works even better here, but you can't rely on it. Who got laid first, you or me? Can't remember. I've got two funny laid stories. I'm only going to tell you one, but I'll pass it back to Craig. I think you got laid first with a Turkish girl, which wasn't that filthy, was it?
It wasn't that filthy in terms of sexual filth, but it was filthy for other reasons, which I'll go into shortly. But it was my first set in LA, actually.
What a cunt.
I know, one open, one close. Efficiency, there you go. I wasn't even out day gaming. I left the apartment. I had a wife beater vest on, shorts. I was just going up to Starbucks to grab a coffee, and this girl, she looked like a typical LA girl, actually. She was wearing a black dress, she had the baseball cap on, big shades, Starbucks in one hand, phone in the other. And I thought, okay, you know, I'll give her an open. There was no IOI. I just thought, fuck it, I will go. Stopped her. It turns out that she was Turkish. She'd been living in LA for 2 years. But
Turkish girls are religious.
Yeah, so they say.
But she's on holiday.
She'd been living there for 2 years studying. She's about to leave in a month. And so it was a quick set, 5 minutes or so. And she agreed to for a date. So I took the number, dropped her a ping the next day, and then invited her out. I think I met her on Tuesday. She came out on Thursday, and I did my research. Here's a little, you know, plug for logistics. Listen to Tom's previous podcast on logistics, because it saves your ass on dates. I found two bars within 5 minute walk of our apartment. They were two cocktail bars. The second one was very sleazy. It was called Adults Only. It was utter filth. As you walked through the door, there was like neon red lights, and you went through this little curtain. They were playing porn. Before you hit the bar, it was awesome. So anyway, she turned up, went for the, you know, two venue date model, one drink in one, verbal escalation, bounced to the second venue, the porn venue, with started physical escalation. She didn't want to leave straight away. And guys often think that, yeah, you know, girls are either sluts or good girls, and this girl was on the fence for sure. Like, she knew she might fuck me, but she wasn't completely sure. So after the second drink, she suggested another one. She didn't want to leave when I suggested the bounce. Normally I'd go for the bounce after the second drink, but she said no. But she said, let's have one more drink, which was a good sign. So we stayed in the bar. If you see my latest video, you can see a little clip of that date where I'm basically making a little travel video to my mom, and she's in it. After that, we made out in the bar, and the bar started filling up, so we bounced back to the apartment. And in the apartment, yeah, again, it wasn't game over. She came in, she sat down, not on the bed. I was staying on the sofa bed in the lounge. She sat on the kitchen table for about 15 minutes. I ran some comfort, pulled her onto my lap, watching YouTube, make out, started fingering on the outside of her jeans, and this is where I kind of thought it was going to get difficult, because I felt that she had on a pad, and she made it clear that, yeah, she was on her period. So I thought, oh shit.
Again, a lot of guys, a lot of students, plus coaches say, oh, that sounds just dirty, man. I don't want to fuck a girl on her period. That sounds gross. Girls will never do that, especially not a religious girl. Yeah, but how fucking common is that? Period sex.
Yeah, I've done it a number of times.
It's beautiful. Feels good. And how? Tell them how you overcome it, because many girls will say, or they'll be a bit embarrassed, and you think it's LMR, and she's like, it's my time of the month. What do you say to?
Yeah, well, you just said it there. Like, it's not that she doesn't want to fuck you on a period. It's the fact that she's embarrassed about it.
But how do you
nine times
okay?
out of ten? So you tell her it's fine. I understand.
I say it's natural, it feels good, it turns me on. Yeah. And you see her going like, ah, and then I even say, I'll go and get a towel, or you can say, do you want to have a shower? Both of them are fine.
Yeah.
And turn the lights down as well.
Yeah, I said, look, it's fine, I understand, I don't mind if there's a mess, I clean it up, it's fine, whatever. And she did the magical thing of going to the bathroom, and it's always at this point whether you know whether the lady's on or not. She came out, got back on the bed, took her shoes off, and then we had beautiful period sex until the sheets looked like something out of Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. And it was lovely. She stayed for a little bit after that, and then she left at around 4 a.m. and yeah, it was awesome. It was filth, but not filth like the Harlem lay.
Literal filth. So don't be put off by the period sex. You might remember a video when I was on a boat, one of my proudest stories, which will go in the new book, a super fast pull and really filthy. Again, the cabin covered in bloody sheets. The poor cleaner who had to go in the next day looked like a murder. My first lay in Los Angeles wasn't filthy, as in noir, as in kind of gutter game. It was very civilized. It was posh. I'll only say it quick, because the filthy bit's really at the end. On the plane to LA, Craig and I were going, oh, wouldn't it be funny if you could find like a posh MILF, a Hollywood MILF? And I went to the Grove, a posh shopping centre in West Hollywood, and I wasn't having much luck, and I met a MILF and her little dog. I don't usually go for MILFs. I wouldn't say you should make that part of your game, it's chickening out. But I've had enough 20, 21 year old girls this year, so I was like, okay. She was divorced, or I think about to be divorced. She had just got her new place. She was LA cliche, whatever, plastic surgery, little dog, esoteric, mad, just nuts. And we had this joke, me and Craig, like, oh, you remember the movie American Pie, or Stifler's Mum, or The Graduate? So that's what I kind of felt like. And Craig was saying, well, it's you know, it's a guaranteed lay, really, if you meet a lonely MILF. I don't know why I was so nervous, but I turned up and it was one drink, and she said, look, we need to take my dog back. She bounced me. There was no game again, except me opening and going with it. And I felt like I was the fly in the spider's web. She was very predatory. The sex wasn't great. It was kind of filthy. She was bending over the kitchen table, and a little dog was in the other room. The whole date, because she brought the dog on the date, was giving me these horrible evils. It was this horrible little dog. I hate them. And after I'd done it, I felt like I'd just eaten a cheeseburger. That's the feeling you sometimes get with filth. And I left. So there you go. That was a quick lay. Not my proudest lay, but it was a lay. And then we haven't got time now to go into my fails, because last time we were in LA, Craig had the fails and I had the wins. And this time Craig has really had the wins, like the good stuff. I've had just funny gutter game. Lots of LMR, lots of flakes. Me walking lonely up and down the Hollywood stars. It's filth. The whole filthy story one night is linked to Craig's next lay, when I think, was that the first time you were getting laid with the Brazilian? Yeah, so I vacated, and Craig will tell you the story now, but it kind of went on for a long time. So I said, I don't mind. I'm in a gutter game mood anyway. Went out on the strip, missed out, very near miss with a nice young Polish girl. I'd got her in venue one, venue two, make out, hand on dick, and then she just said, hostel. And I was like, okay, great, I'm going to fuck you in the hostel. Got to the hostel, they wouldn't let me in, and she shrugged her shoulders. Went back out on the strip, made out with another girl, fail. Got a black girl from the street into a bar, taking sand to the beach. She knew most of the people in that bar. But she said, don't worry, there's a, she, these are her words, not mine. She said, you're not going to be the only white person here. We're having a party up in the hills, or that's where people are smoking weed, as in pond weed. And yeah, there's another white person there. You got to meet her. She's single. I was like, thank fuck. We go to this house party. It's about 5 a.m. and the white girl was the size of a typical Welsh girl. I shall finish the story there because it's too disgusting, but the whole night was one of the filthiest I've had in a long time. But while that filth was happening, there was filth in our apartment. What was this Brazilian story?
Yeah, your story is probably funnier than mine, but yeah, it was after the boot on the boot camp on the Saturday, I did one demo set, again, one set, one close, super efficient, on a beautiful Brazilian girl, actually. She was wearing tiny denim shorts, small crop top. She had a, you know, typical Brazilian figure, big boobs, big ass, small waist, couple of tattoos, and it turned me on when I saw her. So I approached. A lot of guys just seem to think that they should. I don't know. Do a lot of guys approach off horniness? I don't know. Some girls walk by and I feel really turned on, and so those sets normally go better. Anyway, I approached her. She just arrived in LA, and which again I was a bit lucky with, and I was the first guy that asked her out. She agreed to meet me that night, and so I carried on with the boot camp. Students watched the whole set. They were loving it, and she met me that night, and I ran exactly the same model as the Turkish girl. So those two venues next to the apartment. But in the second venue, it wasn't as on as the Turkish girl. She was quite shy, actually, for a girl, you know, a Brazilian girl with tattoos and stuff. She was very reserved. She wasn't taking much of my physical escalation, but she agreed to come back. But once we were in the apartment, the makeout happened super fast, and then the sex was fucking amazing. It was my first time with a Brazilian girl, and Tom joked about it earlier in the day that, you know, they are filthy in bed. And she was. It was amazing. I got some awesome pictures, some some great memories, and she came over the next night. She was awesome.
I think they teach blowjobs in South American schools, honestly. I've never had a bad blowjob of a South American, but they're spectacular.
Oh, it was fantastic. I was texting Tom at the time. I was stood there texting Tom, getting sucked off while he was...
You were saying, where are you?
He was partying in the Hollywood Hills.
I wouldn't say partying, but that really is a filthy story. Like something out of a movie. You know, when you watch an American movie, if you're European, this will make sense, and you have red cups, it's like a frat house, and you have a pool table. We didn't have the pool, as in a swimming pool. There were all sorts of bongs. There was just the characters you see in a movie, you know, like the geeky kid and the fat guy and the jocks. Anyway, that happened in the Hollywood Hills. But Craig's signalling some more.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, a lot of guys seem to think that, yeah, you mentioned it earlier in the podcast, that these kind of fast lays, filthy lays, only happen with low-quality girls. Yep. Now, granted, the girl in Harlem, I'll put my hands up, she wasn't that great. But she was okay, but she wasn't amazing. But the Turkish girl and the Brazilian girl, a lot of guys would love to have them as girlfriends. They were, you know, quality girls. One was a first date lay, and the other was a delayed same day lay. And yeah, they weren't awful.
And guys seem to have it's the Madonna Hall thing, where they go, well, if she does that, she must have a bad personality. She's not dateable, right? Some of the sweetest, nicest girls I could have dated, or I dated, they were from fast lays. Just because you go on three dates with a girl doesn't make her an angel, doesn't mean she has any better personality just because she's got a PhD. So be careful of judging girls like this, right? But let's finish on why you should do this, right? Because you're probably bored of normal day game and collecting numbers. When you travel, it's just not an option. Right? I was lucky with that MILF, but the whole thing was pretty fast. In New York, it was, same day delay. That frat party was instantaneous. So get into Gutter Game. I think, did I do the podcast with you on Gutter Game? Was that the one from Munich?
No, it was in Vancouver.
In Vancouver. Vancouver was a filthy trip. So go back to Vancouver to hear our van adventures. Watch the Vegas video. Watch the Santa Claus video. Listen to the Vegas podcast. All this is filth. I class it as filth, but it doesn't mean low quality girls. It means you have to become almost a night gamer. Right, and we don't mean you go into bars and clubs. You have to get good at Gutter Game. So really look at Gutter Game. We plan to do something on Gutter Game because loads of guys are interested in it. It's an evolution of day game, I would say. Makes your escalation fast, makes you sexual, makes you dominant, and more importantly, in a game wise, it wakes you up. Okay, stops you pedestalizing girls. Stops this stupid, I'm day gaming only R girls, or I'm day gaming only K girls. You make a beast of yourself, and it connects you to the animal inside you. Just finishing with that cabin story on that boat, just one thing the girl said to me at the end, bit like Craig's thing when there was blood everywhere. I think there's a video on it, yeah, and I'm on that boat. And the girl said to me, Tom, you were like a wild animal. You were like a beast. And she said that with a smile. She loved it. And that was the first time in my life I actually felt like a... I turned all my brain off and I was completely like an animal. It was like a wolf. And yeah, all the PC people listening to this podcast will say, well, that's terrible. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. It's very good to become a beast. That's why you have a couple of beers, because you like that feeling. That's why people take drugs. They like that feeling. That's why people jump off bridges with bungees, because they like that feeling. Fast sex, animalistic sex, same delays, gutter game, horny sex. Doing filthy things, which I shall talk about in the book, like anal sex, threesomes. There's a story when I shot some porn. All filthy stuff like that. You've got to get into it. And I feel sorry for these guys that are... their only experience of sex is like five dates, candles, Barry White, and missionary position. No wonder she doesn't stick around.
Yeah.
You know, anything to add, Mr. Cassidy? Have you read My Secret Garden or have you seen Nymphomaniac?
I started reading My Secret Garden recently, actually. I heard about it.
Shockingly good, isn't it?
Yeah, shocking. But now I've been in this for a while and I have been doing these filthy things. It makes sense. But you read it and women are far filthier than we are.
Yeah, yeah.
We will ever be, actually. Yeah, you should definitely read it, guys.
Nymphomaniac, I've spoken about. That shows you what goes on in girls' heads. And if you've got Netflix or you can rip this, watch Hot Girls Wanted. And there's two now. Normal girls, amateur girls getting into porn. Surprise, surprise, in LA and Miami, just for a few weeks. And then they go back to being normal, wholesome girl next door girls. It will wake you up. It will shock you. Okay? Time for some filth. Shout out for this week was a film Craig and I watched called Baby Driver. It was fucking sick. I mean, the cinematography, the music. Okay, the plot was a little bit shallow, but the whole look was what we like. It was very noir. If you've seen Nightcrawler, if you're a fan of Tarantino, if you're a fan of Casino or Goodfellas, it's a real hustle film. So shout out to Baby Driver. See it in the cinema. You need a massive fucking screen. Crank up the speakers. You're going to fucking love it. Right, that was 32 minutes. We are going to the gates. We are going to Sydney. Craig is stuck in a chair in economy. And because I pretend to have a bad back, I've got a bed in business class. But I'll try and get you some free beer, Craig. The only way Craig's going to survive is to get absolutely hammered. Oh, no, there is free beer.
There is free beer.
Yeah, that usually works, just getting absolutely plastered. We're going back in time, forwards in time. We're going to be so fucked up because we're going into winter. We're going to be out of our minds with jet lag. But come
4 days as well.
So yeah. We've only got 4 days to make something happen. So again, we'll probably end up looking for filth.
Looking for filth. That doesn't mean grotsters. That just means fast day game, which is the future for some of you guys. Anyway, that was podcast 113 on filth. We will speak to you from Sydney. Ta-da.